Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Sunny Moyers. He is an author, realtor, human behavior theorist, and he is the president of the Renesa Group, a real estate brokerage, consulting, and publishing company. Welcome to the show, Sunny.
Thank you so much, AJ. How are you today?
I'm doing good. And a lot of people today will be, I'm happy that a lot of people will get to learn from you about how to be successful in the real estate arena. So that is what makes me happy.
Great. I look forward to helping people. So that's great.
Absolutely. So Sunny, my first question is to understand, how do you see the real estate market? A lot of people have different notions about the real estate industry, real estate market, real estate sector in different countries, but they have to deal with it because they have to deal with it because there is no other way out. So I want to understand, you know, you talk about consultative selling. Help us understand this part. You have written a book, you have a forthcoming book. I don't know if it's in the market or not as yet, but you will be able to tell that. The architecture of the real estate practice, how have you dealt this particular thing about consultative segment selling into your book? So that, you know, people understand that it's a two-way street. It can be a very happy experience for both sides.
Well, the book will be out in February 28th is the launch date. It's a color hardback book, and it'll be coming out in February. Our launch will be in February 28th, and it's a nonfiction, very real book about, it's more of a textbook style book than it is a typical real estate book. Now let's talk about the markets for just a moment, if you don't mind. If we're talking about the market in the United States, which is primarily where I'll be talking, then you have to also separate, is it residential, commercial, and how they affect each other, okay? So the market, I have been in real estate for 50 plus years. So even in very good, in bad times, I've always done well in real estate. And the reason is, in every market, there's opportunity. So someone shouldn't be negative about the marketplace, because as the marketplace changes, the primary difference is that some people who were very good positioned before now need more help than they did before. Maybe they need more help because they have a distressed property that needs to be sold. Maybe they need more help because they don't know what direction to take in real estate. And that's where a consultative real estate agent has an opportunity to help people solve problems. And that's primarily what I do. I help people solve problems. I might give you a quick example of someone who had a problem and share that with you. Would that be all right?
Yes, absolutely.
I have a client named Puneet. And Puneet was the older brother of a doctor. His two sisters were both doctors, and they had a problem. They had a lot of cash, and they didn't know where to put that cash. That's a nice problem to have, isn't it? And when you have a lot of cash and you don't know where to put it, that's a good problem to have. In this particular case, the doctors were earning very high incomes, and they had a lot of cash availability. And as the older son in the family, he was going to be the financial person to help them. And that was his strength area, education-wise and knowledge-wise. I was helping his sister find a home. And he was with us on a touring for a new home. And we stopped for a lengthy lunch to talk. And he injected into the conversation some questions about investing in real estate in the United States. And I suggested that we have a lengthy meeting about that discussion, but I gave him some key components to think about. He went ahead and asked me to consult with him and give him some ideas about how to proceed toward becoming an investor in real estate in the United States, particularly in the Dallas, Fort Worth, and Oklahoma areas, okay? Because that's where the family was located. I met with Puneet and outlined to him the direction he should take. I did this as a consultant, not being paid as a consultant. I was providing advice and support to earn his respect and his trust. I was making what I call in my book a perception sale. A perception sale is a sale that doesn't necessarily make you any money, but changes the perception of the client. And let me make sure I point out that I don't look at selling homes. I don't look at selling property. I look at helping clients solve problems. And as a natural result of that, they end up buying property. So I consulted with Puneet, and he asked me a lot of questions about getting into the residential real estate investment portfolio business. And I pointed out to him that buying real estate was not having an emotional attachment to property. Buying real estate and investment is all about how the property performs. And I suggested to him how he could structure and build an entity that would own these properties and how they could be a good financial play. Of course, they had to be good property and good locations and all of that, but they had first and foremost to be a good financial play. And I gave him advice of how to go forward. He loved the advice that I gave him, and we began to look for property. I helped him acquire 6 properties over the next 3 or 4 years. And then I also advised him on where he could look for buying property outside the DFW area, where I didn't necessarily help him because I was not a broker in Oklahoma. So he also found a really good agent in Oklahoma to work with us. And we built a portfolio of 15 plus properties over a period of 3 or 4 years. It just happened that those 3 or 4 years were about 10 years ago. Now, you know what's happened in the real estate market in the United States. Significant profit improvement, significant value increases over the last 5 to 7 years. His portfolio grew dramatically. He was a star to his family, and he's made a lot of money in real estate. The difference was I didn't sell homes. I sold solutions to problems. And as a result, the natural result of that was that the client was successful, trusted me and believed in me, and had bought a number of properties where I could participate or not participate. But my goal was whether I participated in the purchase or not to help him achieve his goals and results. That's consultative selling. And that's the difference between selling a product and being a product-oriented salesperson and being a consultative collaborative agent. And that's what my book is about. My book is about being a solutions provider, not necessarily just selling property.
Right, right, Sonny. Well explained. And that is where, you know, I would like to understand more about the book so that people understand more about you, about your process through the book itself. So help us understand what this book is overall all about. Is it about, and who is this book for? Is it for buyers or sellers, or also for buyers? Individual buyers are only people who are looking at it from an investment purpose. Help us understand.
I will do that. In fact, the book is different than almost any book out there in real estate. I don't talk about contracts in the book. It's not about how to write a contract. A good, very qualified real estate agent, wherever they are, who's well respected and who's done been successful, can help someone write a contract. I don't go into the property selection process in the book. I talk about how to build a real estate practice. The book is targeted to professional service companies, those people who want to build a long-term professional services company, primarily in real estate, but it also applies to insurance, mortgage brokers. It also applies to other professional services companies because most of the concepts are universal. Most of them, the key concepts in the book, keystone concepts, I refer to them in the book, are universal to the extent that they cross over between various industries. So the book is about relationship. My master's degree is in psychology. My undergraduate is in communication and management. So the book is about interpersonal relationships, the psychology of real estate. So the subtitle to the book is The Psychology and Art of the Real Estate Profession. This book is about how to build a real estate practice, how to build the keystone concepts that are the foundation of the practice, how to build those structural elements of how you operate the business and manage the business. It goes through the process of doing this, just much like you would build a home. starting with the foundation. And then I guess the key thing that's about what's the biggest deliverable in the book is that it talks about how the book starts out with an idea of how to visualize a business model of how you're going to operate and how you're going to be successful in real estate. And then the most important chapter in the book is what I call the payoff chapter, in that it provides a sample business model of how to create a real estate practice. So someone who can read the book, and this is not an easy read book. This is not a book that you read in a couple of nights. This is more like a Malcolm Gladwell book, if you've read any of his writings, Blink, Tipping Point, some of these other books that are quite complex, and they're not necessarily easy to read. So this book is it's more of a master's course in how to develop a real estate practice or professional services business. I think it also mixes in stories about my clients, like the story I just told about Panit. By the way, Panit loves me. Now, he would always be loyal to me. Why? Because I produced results. And the advice I gave him paid off many, many times over. So the secret to keeping clients and having loyal clients is to provide benefit and value. And that's what my book is about. My book is a 300-page book. It's a complex book. And it provides numerous stories as well as scripting for how to speak, how to communicate in real estate. You know, I listened to one of your podcasts with a very interesting gentleman talking about sales and marketing and the difference. And you asked a great question. You said to him, could you tell me what a sale is? And he had a pretty good time explaining it. But I think the difference is that it depends on whether you're talking about a product that is a very inexpensive product, or if you're talking about something that's $500,000, or something that's, helping someone sign a commercial lease could commit them to $5 to $7 million. So when you're talking about sales to a product or something that's very relatively inexpensive, it's a different concept. When you're talking about big ticket sales, like homes, like long-term leases in commercial buildings, that's a different kind of selling. And that's a consultative, collaborative approach rather than a product-oriented approach.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful, Sunny. So I will come to other questions talking about, you know, consultative selling. Here, you are in a good position. You have already stabilized themselves. You have a good standing in the market. So you can have that comfort of not looking at the money part initially, say, while talking to Puneet or anyone else. But okay, Someone who is new, mm-hmm, they need to pay bills. They have got so much of pressure on their mind. How can they look at consultative selling the way you do? Because there is so much of pressure. How do you do that?
That's a great question, AJ. And I think it comes back to a very clear answer. Let's just picture that there's a ballroom at a wonderful hotel, and there's 399 people in that ballroom, and they all have salespersons stamped across their foreheads. All right. And they all are dressed in the same color clothing, and they all have the same look on their face, and they all appear to be highly professional, but they all look alike. They're ubiquitous. They seem to offer the same thing. How would you choose one? You would just probably choose three and interview them, right? And then choose one of them, but you wouldn't choose one for a reason. Now, someone walks into that room, and they're wearing a blue suit, and they have across their forehead stamped, "I care about you." And that person has a different way of acting, a different way of being around the client. And they demonstrate that they care about the client's success. That's how you capture a new client, not by being ubiquitous with all the other people. So when you're a new agent and you act like everyone else, by the way, there's 1,520,000 real estate agents in the United States that are associated with NAR, the National Association of Realtors. There are 3 million licensed people to sell real estate in the United States. Now, there's 330 something million people in the United States, and there's 3 million real estate agents. If you do the math, there's not a whole lot of people for each agent, are there? So how are those people that are in the market going to choose one agent over the other? That's differentiation. And if an agent can't be different, cannot stand out in a crowd. So what you want to do in real estate when you start out, the book is targeted to aspiring real estate agents and real estate agents who are not as successful as they hoped or dreamed they would be. Okay. Aspiring or struggling. Okay. Now, in this current economy, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of negativity in the U.S. about the commercial real estate sector. Are you familiar with that? In the commercial real estate sector, there's significant vacancy in large buildings and big cities right. In the downtown markets. Right. Okay? In fact, some people say that there's 30 to 40 million square feet of office space available in New York City, okay, the greater area. Now, the thing is, though, those people are not there because they're going someplace else because they're no longer wanting to go into the city. They no longer want to be in a large building. This is primarily an impact of COVID, right? Now, where are those people going to office? They're not in those buildings anymore.
Right.
They're going to office from their homes.
Absolutely.
Now, what does that mean to the residential sector of real estate? So when you think about what's going on, everything in real estate is macroeconomics. It's big picture economics. If something is happening over here, it probably creates something else happening over here. And a really good real estate agent who's been in business for a long time, as I have, 50 plus years, a really good real estate agent looks at the market and says, where is the opportunity? And they never look at it as negative because people who have problems need more help than people who don't have problems. So when there are problems in the marketplace, I'm more valuable. And in the marketplace, when everything is wonderful, they don't need agents as badly as they did before, right? So right. I always look at it that way. By the way, just so you know, I don't know if you read the bio about my accomplishment, but I was voted the number one real estate agent in the Dallas-Fort Worth area by the Dallas Builders Association. Do you know why I won that award?
Why?
All right. I was interviewed by three judges. There were a number of people nominated, but it came down to three people. And they asked me, why are you successful? And how do you work with clients? And I described to them the discussion we've been having, that I don't sell houses, that I solve problems, that I put the client first in all matters. And the natural result of that is I have great clients who want me to do great business. They want to help me be successful. They want to have me on their team, and they want to refer me to their sphere of influence. They want me to be involved in what they're doing. And in this particular case with Panit and his family, I have a relationship with all the family members. They all know me. They all trust me. I had one wrinkle in this plan, though. You know what that was? Panit got married. And right. He married a young lady who became a real estate agent. So, but I'm still very much, very close to the family, very much involved in what they're doing. And I have tremendous testimonials from Panit and his family about what I've done for them.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You put up about solving problems. Over the years, I've seen in the real estate sector, especially selling houses to, residential houses, the industry has been pitching about this dream house. And then that dream has been shattered in many places, including in India. Will that dream house, slogan work anymore, or has the time changed?
Well, in our area, most people move every 5 to 7 years. So have you heard the term, the law of the few? The law of the few term came from a number of people have said it, but Malcolm Gladwell made it very famous in his discussion of the law of the few. And it basically said that a few great clients or a few people can cause something major to happen. An epidemic, for example, is his illustration or his analogy. In my case, I can tell you that we looked at a 10-year period in our real estate practice, and we looked at where our business came from using our CRM, a client relationship management software, and used tracking systems that we created early on, we tracked where our revenues and business came from. And we found that over a 10-year period, 80% plus of our income came from about 15 people, their families, and people they recommended from their sphere of influence. So real estate is not about the masses. It's not about reaching out to thousands of people. It's about finding some few people who are also connectors. And if you read the book and remember the book, his use of the term connector is extremely important, because all I had to do was find one person. In this particular case, Puneet and his family connected me to numerous other people. So when I look at the value of a client, if I have a client who is not only a good quality client, but when I say qualifying a client, I'm not talking out of a financial qualification. I'm talking about qualifying a client for a relationship with me that will allow me to be an advisor, a confidant, and a consultant to them over a period of time. And I trust that I'll help them make enough money that they'll continue to use my services and be loyal to me as the provider of great results. Okay. So a real estate agent shouldn't be worrying about commissions. They should be worrying about clients, finding a few great clients, finding someone who can be helpful. And let me just give you a good example. If you have 20 guests on your podcast, right? And one or two of them deliver tremendous value to your audience. That's the secret, isn't it? That's the person you want to stay with. Not the person who provides minimal value, but the person who provides great value. My book is about helping people be successful. I'm older now. I don't want to work as hard as I used to in real estate. I don't want to work 60, 70 hours a week. My book is sharing with people what I have done in my career, what I have done that has caused me to be very successful in real estate over a long period of time. Okay. And through all those 50 plus years, yes, through good economies, bad economies, many law changes, tax reform, all these different things that happen, still successful in any market, because my principles that I operate under are based upon fundamental concepts that provide great value and benefit to some, very few, great clients who also happen to be connectors, who open their sphere of influence to me and allow me to grow my business. So one client of mine alone, one client, provided over $2 million of commission revenue. Okay, one client. So what I'm telling you is the new agent needs to be looking for a few good clients. If they try to look at everybody, you know, and that's why when we talk about marketing, we can have a total different discussion about marketing. Marketing in real estate is not about reaching the masses. I want to reach you personally, and I want to demonstrate competence and proficiency to you so that you say, if I was moving to Dallas, Texas, and I was looking for a home, I want to talk to Sonny. I wouldn't want to talk to other people. I want to talk to Sonny. And the reason is because I demonstrate to you my knowledge, my proficiency, my education, and I demonstrate to you that I will put you first in all matters. I had a client one time I was interviewing to be their agent. Sorry, I have allergies today. A lot of allergies in Texas. Have you been to Texas?
No.
Oh, you could come see me. I'd love to have you visit. Texas has a lot of allergies and creates a lot of problems for us. But I had one client who I was meeting with to take them on a tour of homes. And when I got to the hotel to pick them up, I was surprised because we sat down in the lobby and they said to me, AJ, we have interviewed three other agents that all are great. Why should we choose you over them? And I said to the client, because I don't sell houses. I help you make good decisions. You've indicated to me, AJ, that you're going to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for 5 to 7 years. And that when you move, you're going to need to sell that home. I want you to win. I want you to be successful in your choice of a home. I want you to make a decision that when you get ready to move, You say to yourself, I'm calling Sonny. That's what real estate's about. Building relationships, finding those few good clients, those clients that are high potential and will work with you and want you to be successful. They want you to make money. They want you to be successful and they want to share you with their friends. And that's why they open the kimono and have you access to their sphere of influence, those family members and those friends that will become your clients. So if I had to give advice to a brand new agent, don't go into real estate with misconceptions. Find out, study the business, understand the business, understand what it takes to be successful in real estate and build your business on sound principles, keystone concepts, like I write about in my book.
Right, right, Sunny. Let's look at the first meeting between the client and the agent. The agent is good. He has read your book. He has taken your advice. He has learned something. You know about psychology. There is a psychology in real estate. What about the client? They are also looking at the first time. They have heard not so good stories about how this market works. Not so good stories about real estate agents. They have their own expectations. They have their own apprehensions. How should a real estate deal with that situation? Wow. And secondly, what is your advice also for buyers, especially first-time buyers, about their expectations, about their apprehensions, amidst all these things? And it's very natural to have those, amidst all these things, to still be able to find the right agent and to get the best for themselves.
Yeah. Well, I would think that a buyer should look for things in an agent. You know, a lot of buyers look at the agent who says things that are, I have designations in this. I've done things. I've achieved certain successes. But really, you want an agent who can demonstrate to you that they understand your needs, what you want to accomplish and your goals. Okay. And you need an agent who knows who, when you interview agents, that you can tell the difference between one agent and another agent. If they all look the same, they're all ubiquitous. And one of the biggest questions is, why would you choose one over the other if they're all the same, right? So you want to look for that agent who's different, who's unique, who's special. And that agent who's been in business for quite a while. And very importantly, if you're looking at buying a home in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you want an agent who knows the area. Don't choose an agent who's new to the area or an agent who has little experience in the markets that you're looking in. Real estate is not a business that is practiced wide scale, except by big agencies. An agent, the individual agent, works in a pretty small geographic area. And that geographic area is where they know. In fact, the code of ethics for real estate says, don't show property in areas that you don't know. Okay. Because he can cause problems for the client. So what you have to do when you're looking to find an agent is interview multiple agents. Look at who's the leader in the market area. Who are the top agencies in the area? Who are the top agents within that agency? And who does business in the areas that you're going to be looking? If you're looking for a property in Prosper, Texas, which is where I live, it's just north of Plano, Texas, Frisco and Plano. And if you're looking for property in that area, which is a very high growth area, very successful area, if you're looking for property in that area, it doesn't do you any good to have an agent who works in Waco, Texas. It doesn't do you any good to have an agent who works in another place and doesn't know this market. You want a local agent who understands the area that you're looking in and will put you first. Now, many agents work primarily on commission. See, when you work with someone like, let's say that you came here and bought a home and you were 30 years old. I don't think either one of us are 30 years old, AJ.
You're right.
But if you came here and bought a home and you were 30 years old and you bought and sold a home every 5 to 7 years for the next 35 years and you stayed here, then I would have 8 to 10 transactions potentially with you. And those transactions, each one, make the value of you very, very high. Okay. So I want to put you first in all matters for the primary goal that you will look to me for the long term. And I'll have a client, not just for the life, because some people move away, some people go away. So you're always looking to find new clients, aren't you? Well, the new agent who comes in underfunded, they don't have the money, they believe it's a product-oriented sales environment. They come into the business thinking that their degree or their experience in their previous job would allow them to run a business. Those misconceptions are probably going to result in a high probability of failure. So before right. you get into the business, get hold of someone like me, not necessarily me, because I'm not everywhere. Get someone like me who will sit down with you and share with you and mentor you to help you make a good decision about all the matters. Really, how much money do you need to get into real estate? How long can you be in real estate if you can't make a commission in the first 6 months? Okay. How much staying power do you have? How are you going to differentiate yourself from the other agents who are all out there, hundreds of them? I live in a neighborhood with about 1,500 homes. There are over 50 real estate agents who live in here with me. And there are a whole lot of agents who want to do business in this neighborhood. How do I stand out? How do I differentiate myself? How are you? And this is why the business model is so important in what we're doing in the book. The business model, if I ask you to visualize how you would get into real estate and you didn't know how to even visualize it, how likely are you to be able to create a successful plan? You can't write a marketing plan. You can't write a business plan if you can't even visualize how you're going to get into the business and how you're going to be successful and how you're going to be different from the other hundreds, thousands of agents that are out there. Being number one agent in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there were probably 18 to 20,000 agents in DFW. Okay. So how do you get to be the number one agent? You better be different and you better be special. And what I mean by that is you better have a different approach. You better have a differentiating factor that when you talk to a prospective client, like a buyer, you can stand out and be different than the other agents. So I would say to a first-time home buyer who's coming into the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you need to find an agent and you better connect with somebody who you believe at the end of the day is going to put you first over their commission, over everything else that they do. That doesn't mean they don't expect to make money. And you want them to make money. You want them to make money because you want them to be committed to you and help you over a long period of time.
Right, right, Sunny. One more question is, people talk about passive income in almost every aspect of our things. Becoming a real estate agent, is that a full-time job or even, you know, part-time work can work with for you? How does that work? And as a client, how do I deal with that? With that, we should go for part-time real estate agent or a full-time real estate agent?
Well, if you choose a part-time real estate agent, one, you're probably not going to be real happy, because when you call them and you find out they're working at the cellular phone store at night, they're not going to be available to show you that property that you need to see that night, because there might be 12 offers come in on that property and you won't be there. Okay. So you need an agent who's willing to take the time and commitment to you. But you also need an agent. Being in real estate part-time is very difficult. It's difficult because the contracts change. There's lots of things. The market changes, okay? We go through a period where it's a seller's market, and one home might come on the market that's a great home and get 20 offers in the first day. 20 offers in the first day. And these are homes that are $800, $900, $1 million, okay? And then you have homes in a bad market that don't get a single offer in 6 months. It depends on where you are at that time, okay? And so the market changes, but you have to be able to work and develop within that. So when there's a buyer's market, it's very different than when it's a seller's market. Having been through multiple cycles of real estate over many years allows an agent to understand how to work in different markets. So a new agent's not going to understand that. Also, I would say this. If you have a real estate agent that primarily texts to you and emails to you and doesn't talk to you, you probably need to look elsewhere. Because this person has to know you. They have to understand you. They have to understand your comfort level. And they have to understand that buying real estate is an emotional decision. It's not just a financial decision. It's a place where you're going to have your family live. It's an area that you're going to reside in that's going to be important to you. there's a lot of emotion involved in it. And if the temperament of the agent is not conducive to your temperament, then you got to be careful, because they're not going to put you in highest priority. I can tell you a quick story. I had another client who's a very, really good client. The gentleman was from Iran, and Ali. And Ali and I showed him a home. And early on, I could tell that he loved the home. He really liked it. And it was $1.2 million, I believe. Okay. Now, Ali was ready to go forward with purchasing that home. And he said to me, I think I want to make an offer on this home. And I said, Ali, I want you to look at the stucco on this home. This is synthetic stucco. It's not real stucco. And it's conducive to mold. Now, I would love for you to buy a home that you will live in safely and comfortably for many years. This home might present a problem. What we should do is ask the seller to provide proof that there's no mold in this home before you buy it. He said, Sonny, that's fine. Later, he told me that they decided not to buy that home. Now, why did I earn his business over 15 to 20 years? He told me, Sonny, when you suggested to me that I should slow down and think about that home, you were telling me that you were putting me first. And when you did that, I knew that you were an honorable man. And that's why he became committed to me, referred his family members, referred his other doctors. It was an amazing relationship. And Ali became one of my very best clients. So, what are you looking for in an agent? Do you want someone who's going to be for you, who's going to put your needs first, or are you going to choose an agent who's focused on the commission?
Wonderful. Wonderful, Sonny. Lots of learning, lots of potential earning for potential real estate agents and existing real estate agents. There is much to learn from you, Sonny, through your book, forthcoming book. So what is the best way people can connect with you, know more about you, learn more from you, also about that book? Where can they get this book?
Well, they can go to realestatebook.org, realestatebook.org, O-R-G, and that's the website for the book. They can go, it will be published through Ingram Spark. Are you familiar with Ingram Spark? They'll be distributing it worldwide. So it'll be available in various countries. I'm not sure every country that it will be in, but Ingram Spark will be in charge of the distribution outside the U.S. and in the U.S., and then I'll have it available here. Also, you can go to my YouTube channel, The Architecture of the Real Estate Practice. It's a rather long name, but The Architecture of the Real Estate Practice on my YouTube channel. And you can always email me at my email, sonny@sonnymoyers.com. My website is sonnymoyers.com and also realestatebook.org. So I'm going to go ahead and talk because it looks like we may be having a technical problem. But basically, the other way you can reach me is if you just Google Sonny Moyers DFW, our real estate agent, Dallas, Fort Worth area, you'll be able to see a lot of connections to me. Okay. I hope that that's helpful to you. The other thing I might mention to you when you're looking at real estate, this book applies to not only people who are in real estate, but people who are in any professional services business. It's not really a product oriented book in the sense of selling small items. It's really big ticket items and how to build relationships over a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sonny. There was a bit of a problem, so I went out for a few seconds, but I'm very much back.
I can always keep talking, I promise you.
I know. But that is not just talking. That's a lot of, wisdom. Wisdom of the real estate market. And that is where I said people have to learn directly from you. This is one episode. There are so many things that they can learn from you. Well, so whatever the technical problem, I guess we'll try and sort it out in the later on. But this has been a great episode in terms of a lot of learning for a lot of people.
Jay, thank you for listening and asking very probing questions. And I could tell from, I had listened to the other podcast that you've been in that I listened to, that you could just take quick answers. You really wanted to delve deeply into things and get solid answers. And I appreciate that. It's been a great interview. I've enjoyed it greatly.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sunny. It means a lot to me. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day. Bye.
You too.